Okay, today's daf is Tamid Daf Lamed. Today's shiur is once again sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. We are holding four lines into the page on Daf Lamed Amar Aleph. We are at Sidur HaMarach Gedolah. So we're Be'ez Hashem going to finish the second parak, where we're going to talk about why there was a window in the Maracha. We said that on the eastern side of the Maracha, it was a whole arrangement of logs, but there was a space, there was a window on the eastern side of the Maracha, so we're going to talk about why that was. And then, Be'ez Hashem, we're going to learn the entire third parak of Maseches Tamid. It's only Mishnayos in the third parak, there's no Gemara, and it's going to talk about the continuation for the preparation of Shechting, the Karban Tamid, the arrangement of the pious that they would do for the Avodah Satamid, preparing the animal for Shechita, the Makom of the Shechita, and the Dishon Mizbeach HaPnimi, and the Dishon Menorah, which happened at around the same time as the Akrava Satamid. So all of that, Be'ez Hashem, will be discussed in the Mishnayos in the third parak. So let's begin. See, there is a Marach Gedola. So we said that they arranged the Marach Gedola toward the Mizrach, and they had a Chazisa. There was a window in the Mizrach of the Maracha, like a gap in between the arrangement of the logs in the Maracha. So, Frakta Gemara, my time, why? Why would they leave this open space in the Maracha? So, two opinions. Rav Huna Rav Chista, it's a machlokes Rav Huna Rav Chista, Chad Amar Kadesh Tei Aruach Min HaShaves Ba. One says, since there's a wind that comes from the east, it will help to fan the flame of the Maracha, and therefore it helped with keeping the fire going on the Maracha, because the Ruach Mizrachis is considered to be a stronger type of wind, and furthermore, all the Shari HaZara were facing toward the east, and that's why the Ruach was able to get in through the east. That's how the Rush points out. The Chadamer, and the other opinion is Kadesh Yumatzisin Es HaAlisa Misham, so that they can bring in the little splinters of wood, little matches to stick them in, and that would keep the fire going, and they needed a place to insert the matches. So, Frakta Gemara Meisve, Reva Chayabahen Bin Agzir and Shrey Matzisin Es HaAlisa Misham. The Mishnah gave another way that they would have that they would be able to stick the matches in, that they left a little bit of space, leaving aside this window. All of the logs had a little bit of space where you could, a little bit of revach, where they could stick in smaller pieces of wood that would get the fire going. So the one who says that it's in order that they could stick in small splinters of wood would tell you, yeah, there were a lot of places where they had to stick in these splinters of wood in order to get the Maracha lighting quickly. And therefore, both the window and the revach was all for that purpose. So you don't need it to be for two separate purposes. Hadron Luch Ruach Echav. Now we move on to the third parak of Maseches Tamid. So the first Mishnah is going to talk about the pious for the Karban Tamid, how they would do the raffle for who gets to do what with the Karban Tamid. So Amar Lema Mamuna, the Mamuna says to the Kohanim that came to the Lishchas HaGazis, and they were ready for the pious, Bo Ve'efisu, come and let's participate in this Goral, and the Goral is going to determine the following 13 things. Now the Goral is outlined, exactly how they would do the Goral is outlined in Maseches Yuma and Daf Chafhei, and the Rambam quotes it in the fourth parak of Hilchos Tamidim Musaf. And what they would do is the Kohanim would stand in a circle, the Mamuna would take the Mitznefes off of the heads of one of the Kohanim that was participating in the Goral, the Mamuna would then pick a random number, and all of the Kohanim would be Motzi Etzba'osei, and they would stick out a finger, and he would start to count Etzba'os from the guy whose Mitznefes was removed, and wherever they got to the predetermined number, the Kohen on whose finger they got to the predetermined number, he's the one that wins the raffle. There is a suffix in the Gemara Maseches Yuma whether they've conducted 13 different Goralos for each Avoda independently, or no, they did one Goral, and then that guy and the next 12 each got the 13 things that they were raffling off, but it wasn't 13 independent Goralos. That's the Gemara's suffix. The Maskana of the Gemara is that it was only a Goral for the first Avoda, and the other 12 just naturally followed. The guys standing to the right of the fellow who won the Goral, those were the guys that, those were the Kohanim that got to do all of the other 12 Avodos. So what were these Goralos for? Number one, Mi HaShochet, who gets to Shech the Karban Tamid, which is a little bit strange. Shechitas K'sheira Bizar, and they have Kohanim doing doing a goral, a pious, to determine who gets to shecht the carbon tamid. But that's that the Bar Tanur writes that even though shechitas kodemes lizrika, since the avodas zrika sadam is more chashuv than the avodas shechita, b'shechitas ksheir bizar, the first one to win the raffle was zocha bizrika, not b'shechita. We just mentioned shechita first, but the first raffle winner has to be the zrika, because that's really the chashuva avoda. Shechita is not the chashuva avoda. The next kohen would get shechita. Other achronim wonder that, even though that it sounds that way from the Rambam in the Pirush Mishnayos and Maseches Yuma, but the Rambam obviously was chazar bo, because in the Pirush Mishnayos over here and in the fourth paragraph of Hilchos Midin Musafin, the Rambam clearly says the first guy gets shechita, that the first winner is the one that has shechita. Why did they have to do a goral on the shechita? So the Gemara in Yuma tells us that since the beginning of the Avodas HaTamid is through the shechita, it was considered a davar chashuv, and therefore they vied for it, and they were worried that since this was something people were vying for, it would be avolidei sakana if they didn't do some sort of peaceful way of resolving who gets to do it. Say nachinami, shechita's ksheira bizar, but if it's something that the Kohanim were very interested in doing, so they would they had to come up with a peaceful way to resolve it. So that was the first issue that had to be settled by a pious, and then they would also determine mi hazorek, who gets to be mekabel and zorek the dam. The mekabel and the zorek is the same person, so therefore that goes together. And third, mi medashim mizbeach hapnimi, who's going to remove the ashes from the mizbeach hapnimi. Fourth, mi medashim es menorah, who's going to be medashim the menorah. And mimala evarim lekevesh, and who's going to bring the evarim on the kevesh? That's not number five. That is an introduction to the next several, because it's not just one person who brings the evarim onto the kevesh. There are many different evarim that have to be brought by many different people. But before we get to that, as far as being medashein the menorah, so being medashein the menorah means to clean out the shemen and the psila that's left over from yesterday and put a new shemen and psila in. There is a machlokas in the rishonim whether hadlak HaMenorah is part of the process of Dishun that they would do in the morning as well. The Rambam in the third paragraph of Tzvi Musafin says that Hadlaka is Bechlal, that they would do a Hadlaka as well. The Rashba in the Tshuva Chelek Aleph Sim Shintes and other Rishonim as well say no, they didn't light in the morning if a Ner was extinguished, except for the Ner Maravi, and the reason they did a Goral as part of the Avodah Satamid was because it was done around the same time of the Avodas HaTamid. In the Gemara in Yuma, it tells us that according to Abba Shaul, Hatavas HaNeros was divided into two parts. First, they would be Meitiv Chamesh Neros, and they'd be Mafsik with the Avodas Dam HaTamid, and then they would continue and be Meitiv the remaining two Neros. And it also tells us that according to the Chamim, they weren't Mafsik by Avodas HaTamid, but with the Avodas HaKtaris HaKtaris in between. But either way, the Hatavas HaNeros wasn't just seven Neros, they would stop in between to do something else. Okay, now the Mishnah tells us, so mi malei varim lekevish. They also had to determine who was going to be malei varim to up to the ramp of the mizbeach, because obviously they would cut the carbon into different pieces, and they needed six different kohanim to get the evarim and bring them to the from the person who's minateach, from the person who was cutting it up into pieces, and each kohen would take two evarim, and the sixth guy would take the kirbayim, and they would bring it up to the kevesh. They wouldn't bring it up to the mizbeach, to the top of the mizbeach. They would just put it on the western side of the kevesh, the bottom half of the western side of the kevesh. We're going to have a mishnah later on where there's a machlokas tanaim, who would then take it from there? Who would take it from the kevesh to the rosh hamizbeach? Tanakama says they had a separate goral to determine that, whereas Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds that the kohanim who brought them to the kevesh were the ones that later brought them to the rosh hamizbeach. Who got to be makter these evarim on the maracha on top of the mizbeach? That's machlokas rishonim. Rashi Maseches Sukkah and Daf Nundal tells us that the kohanim who brought the evarim to the rosh hamizbeach were the ones that were makter them. But the Ritva Maseches Yuma and Daf Chavei tells us that whoever was zocha bezrikas hadam was the one that was able to be makter, because the avodas hadam and the avodas habasar were all, it makes sense, should all be carried out by the same kohen. Okay, but here were the different jobs of bringing the evarim Evarim, at least two, the Kevesh. Harosh v'Aregel Shal Yimin. One Kohen carried the Rosh and the right hind leg. V'shtei Ayadayim. Another Kohen carried the two fore legs. And then another Kohen carried Ha'oketz v'Aregel Shal Smol, the tailbone and the left hind leg. And then another Kohen would take Ha'choze v'Hagera, the fat on the under part of the animal and the neck of the animal. And then another Kohen would take Shtei Adafanos, the two sides of the animals, like the rib cages. And then another Kohen would take Hakirvayim, the stomach and the Bnei Me'ayim. And then someone else, the 11th thing that they had to raffle off was Vahasoles, meaning now that we've gotten all the parts of the animal on the Kevesh, now we're going back to other payasos that they would do. So they would make a payas in order to determine who brings the Isaron of Solas of the Minchas Nesachim that was brought together with the Tamid to the Mizbeach. And then the 12th Kohen would bring Vachavitin. They would raffle off who gets to be Mala, the half Isaron of the Minchas Chavitin of the Kohen Gadol. And then the 13th and final pious was Vayayin. Who gets to bring the Revius Lug of Yayin that they were Menasech on the Mizbeach at the time that they were Makr of the Tamid. Hefisu Zachami Shazacha. So they made this Goral, and whoever won, whoever was able to do it, whoever won the raffle was had the opportunity to do these jobs. So that's Mishnah Aleph, just in terms of the pious to determine the 13 people who would have these 13 different jobs. So now we're going to discuss the zman of the Shechita Satamid. So Amar Lahen, the Mamuna would say to the Kohanim who are in the Lishchas Hagazis, Tzu'u, go out of the Lishchas Hagazis, go to a high place in the Mikdash, Uru'u, imigiyas, man Shechita, and go take a look at the sky and see if it's light enough, if the zman Shechita has arrived. Imigiyah, if the zman Shechita had arrived and it was already Alos HaShachar, so Haroah, the Kohen that was able to see, that was standing in this high place, Omer Barkai, he would scream Barkai, which means that the Murah Shachar is already starting to shine. So Masi ben Shmuel, Omer Masi ben Shmuel says, no, not enough that it's already beginning to shine. He has to say Heir Pnei Kol HaMizrach, that it's more than that, that the entire eastern side of the sky is lit up, and the person who was appointed was standing on the bottom, who was not in this elevated location, would ask him, yeah, or it's lit up entirely. Ad Shu b'Chevron, is it lit up all the way to Chevron? V'Omer Hein, and if it was, he would say, yes, it's lit up all the way to Chevron. The Yerushalmi discusses why it is that we would bring up Chevron, meaning you could just say, you know, how far is it lit up, or is it lit up to a certain distance? So the Yerushalmi writes in Maseches Yuma, in the third Berak of Yuma, that it's dafka to be maskir zuchus sheine Chevron. They want to bring up the zuchus of the avos that are buried in Chevron. And Rashi quotes this in Maseches Menachos. Many other Rishonim quote that Yerushalmi in the Tiferes Yisrael, in Maseches Yuma. He just adds that it's not just the avos in general, but Avram Avinu was masaking Tefillah Shachris, which is keneged the Tamid Shal Shachar. So we want to mention the zuchus of Avram Avinu at the time that we're makriv the carbon Tamid. The Ritva in Yuma says that the pashtus of the sugya sounds like that the reason they asked Ad She B'Chevron is because when it was Meir B'Chevron, then the Shachar it was definitely the time. Then it was definitely light enough because Chevron was in the southeast of Yerushalayim, and in the long days the sun would go from the in the north eastern side of the sky. So if it was lit up all the way to the southeast, so then you know that it was light enough. And then the Ritva quotes the Yerushalmi that the Yerushalmi is like another reason. That's not the pashas of the sugi. The pashas of the sugi is it was just Chevron was a good indicator of how light it was. But the Yerushalmi also the idea of being maskir zuchus avos. So that's why they would say until Chevron. Now the Yerushalmi raises a question: how could the Roa be believed to say that it's lit up ad shev Chevron? He's only in Eid Echad. Normally you need Shnei Eidim in Judaism. So Yerushalmi says, well, it's something that's Efshar Levarer. So you don't have to be Choshesh. He's going to be Meshaker. We could check up on him and make sure that it's true. Someone else could climb up there and see that it's true. So the Yerushalmi raises the question: yeah, but by the time someone else climbs up there, it might actually be light, meaning it keeps getting getting lighter every moment. So still, how can you trust the guy? So Yerushalmi says, because when they go up there a few minutes later, they could tell if it just got light or if it, they could see how far along it's progressed. So in Chazon Yecheskel, in the Tosef, the Numa, he says, what's going on over here? Yerushalmi is not convinced that we would believe the guy? Why wouldn't you believe a person? So the Chazon Yecheskel points out, because it was Cheskas Laila. So Eirech is Nam Bisurin, but not when there's a Cheskas Isser. So an Eirech could say that something is Mutter, but if there's already a Cheskas Isser, then you're not going to say Eirech Neman Bisurin. That's questionable, no? How do we know Eirech Neman Bisurin? So the Torah says, Xeris HaKas, V'safra La, that a woman counts for her own Ziva, right? If she's a Zava Gedola, so she's trusted in the Sphira to say when she's Tahora, and a woman is trusted to say when she went to Mikvah. Eirech Neman Bisurin. She also had a Cheskas Isser prior to that, right? Prior to her Sphira. But that's Chazon Yecheskel says, otherwise, why we, if not for the Cheskas Isser element, why is it that we even enter this conversation? After all, Eirech Neman Bisurin. Okay, Mishnah Gimel. Now we have to get the animal ready for the Karban Tamid. So Amar Leh, the Mamuna would say to the Kohanim who are going to participate in the Karban Tamid, Tzu'uvi Yaviyu Tleh Milishchas HaTlaim. Go get a Tleh from the Lishchas HaTlaim. Lishchas Tlaim was in the northwestern side of the Beis HaMokad. There were these chambers within the Beis HaMokad, and this was on the northwestern side of the Beis HaMokad. The Gemara in Yuma raises the question that it's a stira, because this Mishnah says that it was in the northwestern side, but in Maseches Midos, in the first parak, the Mishnah tells us that it was in the southwestern side. So Rav Huna in Maseches Yuma answers that it's Machlokas Tanaim, whereas Rav Ad B'Rei Rav Yitzchak answers that no, it was on the western side, but because it was very long, it reached all the way until the from south to north. So that's why one Mishnah calls it the southwestern side, another Mishnah calls it the northwestern side, because it was a very long area. So that's the two opinions that you have in Maseches Yuma as to why it is that there's a stira as to the location of this Lishchas HaTlaim. Arba Lishchos HaYisham. It happened to be that in the Beis HaMokad there were four different Lishchos. Achas Lishchas HaTlaim. There's Lishchas HaTlaim that we just referenced. Vachas Lishchas HaChosamos. There was the Lishchas HaChosamos that they, when they brought the flour for the Mincha and Yayin for the Nesachim, they would go to the Mamuna and the Chosamos who was in that Lishcha, and they'd give him money to pay for the Mincha and for the Yayin, and he'd give them a Chosam that would that just had the name of the Karban that for which they needed Nesachim written on that Chosam, and with those Chosamos they would go to the person who had the Menachos of the Nesachim. And it was like a ticket that they would get, and they would redeem that ticket for the Menachos and for the Nesachim. So he was like the cashier, and they'd give him money, and he'd give them a chosam, he'd give them the ticket, and then they would bring that ticket to the person who was able to provide them with the flour, with the wine that they needed. So that's the Lishchas HaChosamos. Vachas Lishchas Beis HaMokad. Another one was the Lishchas Beis HaMokad. The Beis HaMokad HaGadol was very large, and that was where the large fire was to warm up the Ragle Kohanim, but they had this Lishchas Beis HaMokad as well. Vachas Lishcha Sha'osin Ba Lechem HaPanim. And another Lishcha was where they would make the Lechem HaPanim, and that was in the southeastern corner of the Beis HaMokad. The Maseches Midos, it says that explicitly. The Gemara in Yuma explains that our Mishnah holds that the Lishchas HaTlaim was in the southwestern corner, and the Tana is counting toward the left, that he starts with the southwestern corner and then goes to the northwestern corner and then to the northeastern corner, and the Lishcha Achrona is where they made the Lechem HaPanim was in the southeastern corner. The Tana Maseches Midos that counts this Lishcha right after Lishcha Satlaim is just going in the other direction. So that's why it has it in different orders in the two Masechtos. But these are the four Lishachos. Good, now Mishnah Dalet. Now they have to get the Kalim together for the Karban Tamid, and they have to check the animal, make sure that the animal is properly prepared for the Karban Tamid. So Nichnasu L'Lishchas HaKalim. They then went into the Lishkas HaKelim and Hotziu Misham Tishim Ushlosha Klei Kesef Klei Zahav. They needed 93 different Klei Kesef and Klei Zahav for the Avodas Hayom that they were going to do, and they put them all on the Shulchan Shel Kesef that was toward the west of the ramp. All 93 of these Kelim. The Yerushalmi says that why Dafka 93? Connected the 93 askaros that are written in the Nevuos of Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi. Tos Yantov says that the Yerushalmi had rejected this approach and explains the Yerushalmi differently. And other Achronim explain that it's connected the number of letters in the pasuk in Bereishis Perachav Beis Vayavo El Makom Asher Amar Lo Elokim Vayivin Shem Avram Esam Esbeach Vayaru Chase Eitzim Vayekal Esitzuk Bino Vayasam Osa Al the Hachana for Akedas Yitzchak, which was also in the morning, like a Tamid Shel Shachar, 93 letters in the pasuk that describes the Hachana for Akedas Yitzchak. So they say that that's the 93 kelim correspond to that. That we're always being maskir zechus avos and the zechus of Akedas Yitzchak every single morning. If we have time, we try to say the Akedah in the morning to also be maskir the zechus of Akedas Yitzchak. Hishkus Hatamid Bakos Shel Zahav. Then they would give the carbon tamid to drink. They'd give the animal to drink with a kos shel zahav. We already had a machlokas yesterday whether that's to be taken literally or that is dibru chacham b'lashon avai in the lashon guzma. It's just an exaggeration. Aval pishu mevukar mi be'erev mevakrono sola aravukos. And even though they already did a bikur of the carbon tamid the previous day, they would do a bikur again using the light of torches in meseches arav. And tells us the carbon tamid required 4 days of bikur prior to the shechita. We learned that from carbon pesach, because by carbon pesach it says be'asol lechodesh zeh v'yichalem ish sela beis avol sela bayis, and the pasuk says v'yilchem lemishmeres adar ba'asol yom lechodesh zeh. So the shemira means the bedika for any moment. So the pesach definitely required 4 days, and we learned from carbon pesach to carbon tamid that it also required shemira for 4 days, because the pasuk tells us tishmeru lahakriv li b'mado, and therefore all the talaim in the lishkas talaim they would be mevakar mimum for 4 days. So, but nevertheless, part of that bikur was done on the morning of. On the morning of the hakrav of the carbon, they would do one last bikur to make sure that there were no mumin before they would bring it. Next mishnah, misha zacha. So the way the mishnayos have it is that this is mishnah vav, but if you look in the it's a little bit strange because we just learned Mishnah Dalet, right? So Mishnah Hay appears lower down on the page over here. So the Mishnayos seem to be out of order over here. That's how the Bach and the Shita Mukvetzes change it. According to this Girsa, they would first take the Karmat Tamid to the Beis Hamit B'chaim and then only afterwards open up the Heichal. And that's how the Rambam Paskins as well. But so Misha Zacha B'Dish Mizbech HaPnim B'Dish HaMenorah, the Kohanim who were Zocha to do the Dish Mizbech HaPnimi and the Dish HaMenorah Hayu Makdimin, they would get to the gate of the Heichal before the Shechita Satamid Va'arba'a Kelim B'Yadam, and they were holding 4 Kelim. What were the 4 Kelim? Hateni Vakuz Ushne Maftachos. A teni, which is a basket that had a wide opening where they would put the deshen of the Mizbeach in. A kuz is a much smaller kli where they would put whatever the remnants of the menorah, they would put it in the kuz. And Shne Maftachos is 2 keys that would open up the locks to get them into the Heichal. So a teni doma letarkav, the Shel Zahav. The teni was similar to, it looked in shape like a kli that would hold, called the Tarkov, that would hold 3 kav, but the teni was made out of gold, and machzik kabayim v'chetzi, and it would hold a 2.5 kabim, and it had very thick walls of the kli, to the point that from the outside, the kli looked like a tarkov that could hold 3 kabim, but because it had such thick metal walls of the kli, thick gold walls of the kli, it really only held a kav v'chetzi, right? From the outside, it appeared like one type of kli, but really the actual space inside the kli was much smaller. And the kuz looked like a kiton gadol, which was like a jug that had a narrow opening and was wide. quiet at the bottom, but the kuz was made out of gold. And then ushtei maftachos, they had two keys that they would carry in order to open up the pishpash on the north by the gate of the heichal, and they required two keys, echad shu yorid ba'amas hashechi, ve'echad shu poseach kevan. One of them they had to bend down and reach down with the arm fully extended to reach the lock on the bottom part of the door, and one was right where you would expect the lock, right across from your arm's height, that they could just open up the door, like a doorknob height. So they had these two locks that they both had to unlock in order to be able to get in to the shar. Okay, Mishnah Zayin now. So the Kohanim that were Zoch, B'dish, Muzeh, Chaprim, and the Menorah would go into the Heichal for that purposes, and Bolo, L'Pishpash HaTzvoni, the Kohen that was holding the Maftechos would get to the Pishpash HaTzvoni that was in the gate of the Heichal. Shnei Pishpashin, Hayulo, L'Shar HaGadol. There were these two smaller doors by the Shara Gadol, by the Pesach of the Heichal. Achas Patsafon, v'achas Patarum. One was in the north, and one was in the south of the Shar, and the Pishpash HaTzfoni is the one that they were opening up. Shabadarum lo nichnas bo adam. It happens to be the one in the south, no one ever entered in there, because Allahu Mefarash, it's about that door that was in the Pishpash HaDromi, that it says Al Yedei Yecheskel, that Yecheskel HaNavi describes, Shiremar Vayomer Elai Hashem, Hashar Hazeh Sagur Yiyeh Lo Yipaseach V'ish Al Yavobo Ki Hashem Elokei Yisrael Bavo V'yisagur. That this gate has to be closed. It always remains closed. No human is allowed to go through there, because that is the gate that is designated for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now the Bartanur points out, the Pasuk in Yecheskel is not talking about the Bayis Rishon, it's not talking about the Bayis Sheni, it's talking about the Bayis Shlishi, Sheyibana B'meher V'yameinu. So what the Mishnah is trying to tell us, says Bartanura, is Mistama, if that's the way it's going to be in the Bayis Shlishi, that's probably the way it was in the Beis HaMikdash and the Bayis Sheni as well. In Achinami, the Yecheskel is talking about Lasa Lavo. The Marshah in Maseches Midos explains that the Pasuk is saying that in the Bayis Shlishi it's going to remain Sagur V'ish Al Yavobo, because as the Pasuk says, Ki Hashem Elokei Yisrael Bavo, that's talking about in the past, in Bayis Sheni. So the Pasuk is describing what must be in Bayis Shlishi, because Hashem Elokei Yisrael Bavo back in the days of Bayis Sheni. So it is directly relating to Bayis Sheni and that door being closed. The Ravid explains that it can't be that we're going to allow a human being to be nichnas and yotzei in the place where the Shechina is. So that's why it always remained closed. Now in Yecheskel, in Perek Mem Vav, it tells us that on Shabbosos and Rosh Chodashim the gate was opened. So Rashi explains that it's talking about that gate that's supposed to always be sagur was opened on Shabbosos and Rosh Chodashim. So in Pirkei D'Rablazer, it tells us that they opened on their own. They didn't. It was like one of those miraculous things that it just opened. But people were never allowed to open it. So sagur yeh lo yipaseach means that an iser for a human to do it. V'ish al yavobo is l'chora extra, because it already says sagur lo yipaseach. So if obviously if it's going to be closed, what do you need ish al yavobo? It means that even on Shabbos and Rosh Chodashim, when it opened on its own, ish al yavobo. That even if it is, so there are two isurim, there's an isur to open it. But if it opened on its own, then there's a separate isur, ish al yavobo, that no one is allowed to go there. There's also a double expression of sagur. It says vahaya sagur and sagur yiyah. So the Tiferes Yisrael and Mishnayis explains that even though it was sagur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to be nichnas bo. Or he says hayah sagur means on the other sharei, on all the sharei HaMikdash, and it's telling us that the Pishpash HaDromi should be sagur to show the Kohanim that even though the sharei HaMikdash were open and they have the ability to go toward Hashem, but they should go be'emo b'yira, because min adin it should be that all of the sharim really should be ne'ulim. It's a very special zechus that they ever had to be able to enter and to be able to approach the Ribbono Shel Olam in such close proximity. So now we go through how they would be poseach the shar. Not also mateach u'pasach as a pishpash.
They would take the key and they would open up the northern pishpash, v'nichnas lahata, and then they would go into the ta, which was the lishcha, that was a room between the walls of the heichal, and he would walk through the ta until he would get to umeyata laheichal, until he would get to the heichal, ad shemagil shara gadol, until he got to the shara gadol on the inside that faces toward the heichal. He gil shara hagadol, when he got to the shara gadol, heavier as ha neger, he removed the bolt, the es ha poschos, and the other locks, upsacho, and he opened it up. Lo yashochet ha-shochet at sheshomei ha-shara gadol shenivtach, and the shochet wouldn't shecht anything until he heard that the shara gadol had opened up. Ooh, so apparently that was something that you were able to hear. It was this large gate. It made a loud noise. People were able to hear it. So the next Mishnah is going to tell us about the noises of the Beis HaMikdash that could be heard from a great, great distance. Miyericho Yishomen Kol Shar Gadol Sheniftach. All the way from Yericho, they were able to hear the sound of the Shar Gadol that was Niftach. The Sugya Maseches Yuma tells us that Yericho was 10 parsaos away from Yerushalayim. Each parsa is 8,000 amos. So l'chora, the Rishonim are bothered by several kashas. Number one, why do we have to say Dafka Yericho? Just say that they were able to hear it, 10 parsaos away, right? 8,000, whatever it is. Why do we have to say that Dafka Yericho? Furthermore, the Rishonim say that in Maseches Yuma, it says that the sound of the hinges of the doors of the Heichal could be heard in Shmona Tchumei Shabbos, 8 Tchum Shabbosos. And that's only 2 Parsaos, because a Parsa is 8,000 Amma, a Tchum Shabbos is Alpayim Amma, so 2 Parsaos would be 8 Tchumei Shabbos. So that's a lot less than 10 Parsaos. The Rishonim also ask that the Mishnah is going to say that the Kol Gvinei Karus could be heard until Yericho. In Maseches Yuma, it says that it was only heard for 3 parsaos. So there are a number of different explanations that Rishonim have for our Mishnah. The Ravid suggests that in the same that on that path toward Yericho, there weren't mountains blocking and being ma'akev the kol. So, or maybe Yericho was elevated, and that's why they were able to hear it. But in other directions, it wasn't heard as great a distance, and that explains the discrepancy in the description of the distances that they were able to hear it. The Ravid then has another pshat that he quotes from one of his rebbeim, that it wasn't Pederech HaTeva, it was Maisen Nisim, and therefore it can only be heard in Yericho. It wasn't all the way until Yericho. It was, X number of Tchumei Shabbos, or whatever the Mishnayos describe elsewhere. Over here, when we're describing Yericho, that was Pederech Neis. On the other tzadim, with the shorter distances, that was Pederech HaTeva. And the reason why Dafka Yericho is because that's where the beginning of Kibush Eretz Yisrael happened. So just like we take a truma from the Reishis Hadagon, so too Yoshua took a truma from Eretz Yisrael. So he was machrim the spoils of Yericho, and Yericho therefore always has a special place. So Yericho, once the Beis Hamikdash was built in Yerushalayim, Yericho is sort of getting its just due every day. When we would start the avoda in the Beis Hamikdash, so that's the approach of the Ravid's Rebbeim. The Rush has a third approach, that the Ma'ara of Tzidkiyahu went from Yerushalayim until Yericho, and the kol would go through the Ma'ara, so it was like a microphone system that went through a Ma'ara, and that's why it traveled a greater distance. But you do see that there is this machlokas whether what we're about to describe in this Mishnah was Bederech HaTeva or Bederech Neis. It was certainly loud, but the question is how loud that they were able to hear it all the way from Yericho. So the Mishnah lists other things that they were able to hear from Yericho. Yericho Yishomin Kol Magrefa. They would hear the sounds of musical instruments in the Beis HaMikdash. Yericho Yishomin Kol Ben Arza Makash Betziltzel. They would hear Ben Arza when he would bang the cymbals. Yericho Yishomin Kol Achalil. They would hear the flute. Yericho Yishomin Kol Gavini Karos. They would hear Gavini, the Machriz, the one who would announce every morning before Alos HaShem that the Kohanim should get up to do the Avoda. The Rush writes that the first guy guy who had that job. His name was Gvini, so he was like a legendary figure, but it obviously wasn't him forever. You know, he didn't do this job for centuries, but that's why we call it called Gvini Karos. The Rambam says that he was the most chashuv of all the people who ever held that job, and that's why we call that job by his name. Miricha Yushomin, Kola Eitz, Sha'asa Ben Katin Muchni Lakir. They also heard the pulley of the kiyar when they had to pull it out of the ground when they because overnight, as we mentioned yesterday, they would lower the kiyar into the ground so that the water wouldn't become possibleina. Miyiricha Yishomin Kol Ashir. They would hear the levim singing the shira bepeh every day when they were bringing the carbon tamid. Miyiricha Yishomer Kol Ashofar, and they would hear the shofar that they would blow the 21 tekiyos in the mikdash. The Mishnah Masechta Sukkah says that they would blow every single day. Yesh Omrim Af Kolish Al Kohen Gadol Shoshu Masker Hashem Biyom HaKippurim, that they would even hear the call of the Kohen Gadol when he would mention the Shem Hashem on Yom HaKippurim, because there were 10 times that the Kohen Gadol would be masker the Shem HaMefarsh in Yom HaKippurim, 3 in the Vidoy, the first Vidoy on the Par, 3 in the Vidoy, the second Vidoy on the Par, 3 in the Vidoy on the Sirah Mishaleach, and 1 with the Gorolos, when he said Hashem Chatas. So 10 times in masker the Shem Hashem. So the Rishonim discuss, they would hear the Kohen himself, or maybe they would hear the response of the entire tzibur that they were mishtach v'menomer and baruch shem kol malchus ol yomven, which is much more mistaver, because that's going to be a much louder noise. That's going to be every kohen gadol had a voice that would project to such an extent. So more likely it was the call of the masses that were responding to the kohen gadol. Miricho yomerich and reich pitum akhtaris. Not only did they hear things from Miricho, you could smell the smell of the pitum akhtaris from Miricho. Amar blazer ben deglai ben diglai. Said, my father's goats used to sneeze from the smell of the pitum akhtaris. So and they weren't close by. They were by the michvar, which is the name of a place which was apparently very far from Yerushalayim. Okay, misha zacha b'tamid. Whoever was zocha to shech the tamid, mishacha v'holech lebeis hamitbachayim, he would schlep it to the beis hamitbachayim. Misha zacha b'evarim, and the people who were zocha to bring the Evarim up to the Kevesh, Holchinimo would go along with him. The place where they would shecht and skin and dissect the carbon, cut up the carbon, was on the northern side of the Mizbech, Va'alav, and on that place they had Shmona Amudim, they had like these 8 low pillars, Nanasim means very low, Urevayim, and they were squared, Shel Erez, made out of Erez wood, Al Gabayan, there were these square blocks of Erez wood on top of these low pillars. Vam Kalau Shel Barzel, Hayu Kavun Behen, and they had these iron hooks kavua into these posts. And they had 3 rows of hooks in each of these posts. And that's where they would hang the animal on the hook, and they would skin the animal as its body was resting on these marble tables that were right next to the hooks. Then whoever was the one that won the raffle for the Dish Mizbech HaPnimi would go into the Echal. He would take the basket, and he would put it on the floor of the heichal, and he would take handfuls of the ashes, and he would fill up the basket. And then there was only just a little bit of ashes left when he couldn't lift it with his hands. So he would sweep it all into the basket, and he left the teni there in the heichal, and then he left the heichal. The guy who the Kohen, who was Zocha to do the Dishna Menorah, Nichnas, he entered the Heichal, Shnei Neros Ma'aravios, he found the 2 westernmost candles, Dolkin, that were still lit, Midashe Nesashar, he would remove the ashes and the wicks from then the oil that remained in the other 5 Neros toward the Mizrach, and he would put the Deshen into the Kuz, the Kli that he was holding, and he would put new Shemen and Psila into those Neros, Umaniach HaSelu, and he would leave the 2 Maravios, Dolken B'mekoman, they would stay lit in the place. But Mitzan Shekavu, if when he came in, he found that they were already extinguished, then Midashnan, he would first sweep them out, they would remove the ashes at the top of the wick and fix the wick. He wouldn't just totally replace it. Umadika min adolkin, and then he would light it from the other neros that were lit. V'acharkach medashin es hashar, and then he would be medashin the other five neros. The even oisel lefnei menorah. There was a stone that was placed in front of the menorah. Uba shalosh malos, which had three different steps on it. Shaleh kohen omen, that the kohen would stand on. Meitaves neros, when he would clean out the neros. The menorah wasn't so tall. It's not like he needed these three steps to reach, but that's what they had. They had these three steps so that he could be made of the neros more easily. He'd put down the kuz that had all of the ashes, that he would put all the ashes and the oil and the wicks into. He would put that down on the second step, the yatza, and then he'd leave it there, and he would leave the heichal at that point. Tomorrow, we'll pick up with the fourth parak of Maseches Tamid. Sure.